Okay, if I were to tell you that the Medrash in this week's Parsha tells us about the Bracha of Bori Nefashos, or references the Bracha of Bori Nefashos, it should not be much of a surprise, because after all, in this week's Parsha we read about the Bracha, the Mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon, V'achalta V'savata V'rachta. However, the context of that Medrash is not at all in connection to Birchas HaMazon. The Medrash tells us about the idea of saying Bori Nefashos in a completely different context. The Pasuk says, Shema Yisrael, ata over ayom es hayarden lavol l'reshes goyim gedolim atzumim mecha. The Torah says that you're about to go over the Yarden and you're going to face nations that are stronger than you and that are greater than you and that are going to be very intimidating and imposing. And you're going to say, Mi yisyatziv lefnei b'nei anak, how am I going to be able to stand up to these giants and how am I going to be able to possibly get through this and be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael? And right on those psukim, the Medrash says, Hashosimayim letzamo keitzadu mevarech. If a person drinks a lot of water, to the point that he quenches his thirst, what bracha should he make? Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Bori Nefashos Rabos V'Chesronam. Very, it seems like it's out of place, that maybe there was a typo somewhere along the way, that bracha, that line in the Medrash of Hashos Amayim Letzama really belongs, on V'Yachalta V'Savata, oh, that's Sviya by Ochlin, Hashos Amayim Letzama, then what should the bracha be when you drink enough water to satisfy yourself? But that's not the way we have the Medrash. We have it in what seems to be the wrong place. Rav Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer has one simple idea that I think is just an incredible insight in terms of Ben Adam L'Chavero, in terms of our interactions with other people. Rav Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer in his drashos explains that sometimes people really want to help other people and they really feel that they want to do something for other people, but they simply don't know how. And the reason that they don't know how is that they can't even relate to the situation that the other people are in. They can't even relate to the plight of the person who's struggling with certain issues. You know why? Because they never struggled with those issues. Someone was telling me recently that they were having financial problems and then something happened. The roof fell in or something major happened where they were going to need to come up with a lot of money really quickly. And one of their friends said, yeah, I know you're having financial issues. Why don't you go take from your savings account? I said, no, this is it. I have one account. And they couldn't even be masig that there's no additional account that, you know, for the rainy day account. And he said, well, if you don't understand the matzav that the person is in, then you're never really going to effectively be able to help the person. The pasuk famously says, "Mekimim yafradal me'ashpos yarem evyon." There's a concept called biblical parallelism, that sometimes the Navi will tell us, or the Torah sometimes will have a phrase that means that's the same thing twice. "Mekimim yafradal" means that the destitute will be lifted up from the dirt. Me'ashpos yarem evyon, and from the ashpos, the evyon, the poor person, is going to be lifted up. Sounds like it's saying the same thing. Says Rav Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer, it's not saying the same thing at all. It's describing a progression. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do a favor to the evyon, he wants to do something nice for an evyon, for someone who's destitute, for someone who's desperate, the best favor he could do is mekimi me'afradal, is to first take someone else who is poor and give him money. Give someone else who's been through that experience, who knows what it is, who's been there before, and give him that bracha of being able to be a person of means, and then he's going to know how to take care of the other avyonim. Because a person who was never there isn't going to be able to fully appreciate and fully understand it. There is nothing that breaks down barriers and nothing as comforting for people as the idea of shared experiences. If I feel that someone has been through the same thing I've been through, it's comforting. Whether you want to call it misery loves company, or whether you just call it, it's just comforting. It's just the person knows, and that person made it, and therefore I can make it too. And that's just it's just a basic yisod of human emotions. I had someone come to me, one of the members of my shul came to me privately a while ago, and said, I just want to offer my services in case you ever have people that are having a very difficult time conceiving children, just I'm here to talk to. And he said, you know, I don't know if you ever had this trouble, but I know that if you haven't, you're ill-equipped to really talk to people about it. And we've had this trouble, he told me, and Baruch Hashem, he has a couple of healthy children, wonderful children, but he said, we went through a great deal of difficulty, and therefore we're capable. He understood that the challenges that he had and the challenges that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave him were also an opportunity to help others, and provided him with the tools that he needs to be able to help others. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim Brisker was known, obviously, as a very great Gaon. But he was also known in his lifetime as a very great tzaddik. His house, it's known, was a Rishus HaRabim. People were coming through his house at all hours of the day and night, constantly. It was a total Rishus HaRabim. In 1895, in the city of Brisk, there was a fire that burnt down many of the houses. Most of the houses were made out of wood, and the fire spread like crazy, and it burnt down many of the houses. The entire time that there were still people that didn't have homes, Rav Chaim Brisker would not sleep in a bed. Because if he's going to be mechazik people, and he's going to encourage people, and he's going to try to help people through it, and they don't have a bed to sleep in, then he can't have a bed to sleep in either. He understood that if he's going to be able to be mechazik people, he needs to share in the same experiences that they had. And it's interesting to note that the person we know is Rav Chaim Brisker. So in Brisk, they didn't call him Rav Chaim Brisker. It would have been ridiculous, because everyone in Brisk was Brisker. So you don't call him Rav Chaim Brisker. You know what they called him? In Brisk, they called him Rav Chaim Varshever. Because every other day, every other week, he was running to Warsaw to deal with some other major need for the community. And since he was always running to Warsaw to deal with Tzarchei Tzibur, they called him Rav Chaim Varshever. And that was the idea. The idea is that he was someone who's a tremendous Isha Chesed. But anyway, the Gemara, Maseches Brachos, Daf Hem Beis, tells a very remarkable but also very confusing and perplexing story. The Gemara tells us, Rav Chiya Bar Abba Chalash, Rav Chiya Bar Abba got sick, Olu L'Gabei Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan went to visit him. Amar Lei, so Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, a question that seems a little antagonistic. He says, Chavivan Alecha Yisurin? How are you enjoying this suffering? Is it good? Amar Lei, Lo Hein Velo Scharan. He says, no, I don't like it. I don't enjoy the high fever. I don't enjoy the cough. It's not, and really I could do without it. I forget the schar. I'll do without the suffering. I could really be fine without it. So Amar Lei, Havli Yadcha. He says, give me your hand. Yavla Yade, he gave him his hand, v'ukme. And Rabbi Yochanan apparently was like one of those tele-evangelists, right? He just, you are cured, and that was it. And v'ukme, he got up, I feel great, fantastic. Rabbi Yochanan chalash. Sometime later, Rabbi Yochanan got sick. Allah gabei Rabbi Chanina. And Rabbi Chanina came to visit Rabbi Yochanan. Amar lei, chavivan alecha yisurin. Give him a taste of his own medicine. He says, how do you like those yisurin, Rabbi Yochanan? Samar lei, lo hein velo scharan. I don't want them, and I don't want the schar. Amar lei, hav li yadcha. He says, give me your hand. Yoiv le yade. He gave him his hand. V'ukme. And again, got him better. Amai. So ask the Gemara, wait a second. Rabbi Yochanan was the healer. If he was such a great healer, why does he not heal himself? Can he just just do it to himself? Why does he have to rely on someone else to come heal him? Ask the Gemara. Leikum Rabbi Yochanan l'nafshei. Amri, the Gemara answers, Ein chavush matir atzmo mi besa asurin. Someone who's imprisoned cannot get himself out of jail. You could be very talented and a great attorney at helping to get other people out of jail, but once you're imprisoned, you're not going to do a great job in yourself. You're not going to be able to handle yourself. So the symbolism, I think, of this Gemara is just, it's bolate. It jumps out at you. The person suffering in solitude can't bear the pain. Lo hein v'lo yisurin. No, the lo scharan, rather. Notice the Gemara does not say that when he gave him his hand, mirapehu, that he was mirapehim, that he gave him a cure. What does he say? Ukme. He lifted him up a little bit. He stood him up. That a person is suffering and he can't bear the pain and he can't deal with it. Havli yade, give me your hand. You have someone's hand to hold through it. And that's exactly the idea of this Gemara. That how do you lift someone's spirit up? How do you help someone who's suffering? Not because you have any answers and you have any cures, but simply because you're willing to be there in the suffering with the person. And that's really the nechama that we have after Tisha B'Av and the Shabbos Nachamu, is just the nechama that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in galus with us. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavayachal is suffering along with us. And based on this, Rav Yosef Chaim Kornitzer explains, we can answer the medrash that we started with. The connection between Yisurin in the acquisition of Eretz Yisrael and the bracha of Bari Nefashos is as follows. It's a unique bracha, Bari Nefashos, because we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the chesronos, that He created us with chesronos, that He created us with needs, with lackings, with times where we're going to feel that we're lacking and that we don't have everything that we need. When we see Yisurin, when we're about to try to go into a place where we feel like we belong, and we feel like it should belong to us, and was promised to our forefathers, and it's not going to be easy, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting a lot of Yisurin and a lot of Nisyonos in our path, those Yisurin are not just punishments. it's empowering Klal Yisrael as a nation for the future. Because wherever we're going to be, there are always going to be some people that feel like they don't belong, or some people that feel like they do belong, but they're not being accepted and welcomed with open arms, and they feel a little bit left out. And because we have that shared experience of coming into Eretz Yisrael under less than the best of circumstances, we're going to be able to use that chisaron that we experienced to help other people. Chesronos, the bracha of Bari Nefashos, is about the chesronos. It's about the unique bracha of having to struggle sometimes, and therefore enabling ourselves to be able to help other people. I think we must be coming up right now about a year since the Petira of Rav Zelig Epstein, Zichrono Levracha. Rav Zelig was a giant of a man. He was a tremendous pikeach. I was just talking to Rabbi Aaron Palm last week, and he told me that when he used to drive his father, Rav Avram Yaakov Palm, to different meetings of Great Rosh Yeshiva, that invariably they were always at Rav Zelig's house. And very often Rav Zelig, in many of those meetings, was 20 years younger than every other Rosh Yeshiva in the room. But it was understood that he was a tremendous pikeach, that he had tremendous insight. So it was never even a shaila. They all went to Rav Zelig. It was never a shaila. It was never even something to discuss. At his levaya, his son, Rav Kalman, said that he had complained to his father once about the amount of time that helping a particular person was taking up in his life. So, you know, I'm helping this guy, and it's such a drain on my learning and on my time. Rav Zelig told him that he believes that when he goes up to Shemayim after 120 years, he's going to show the Bezin Shalmalo all the Torah that he learned, and they're going to say, we're not so impressed. And he doesn't think that the Bezin Shalmalo will be particularly impressed by his personal piety, by his tzidkus. But Rav Zelig said, you know what my ticket is? I had this tremendous gift that I've been able to help a lot of people. I've been able to relate to people. I've been able to talk to people. And the Bezin Shalmalo, they're never going to be able to ignore that. That's what he understood was the one thing that was going to be his ticket. I think Rabbi Wolf told me last year, after Rav Zelig passed away, that when Rav Zelig would recount how Rav Yisrael Salanter spent the last few moments of his life, he would get extremely emotional. Because how did Rav Yisrael Salanter spend the last few moments of his life? He'd say, you know, vidui, tshuva, dveikus, something, right? The last few moments of his life, Rav Yisrael Salanter was with his Talmidim, and he was telling them, don't be afraid if you've never seen a dead body before. It's nothing to be afraid of. And he was just trying to calm them down about the whole situation, just trying to ease them into what they were about to experience. And that's godless. That's the ticket. That's the ticket, told him Habar. Zelig felt that he got so emotional because he felt that's the ultimate contribution. So let's not make any mistake about it. Being a nice guy isn't enough, right? We also need to learn Torah. We also need to be medaktik in mitzvahs. But the idea that whenever we go through a difficult time, whenever we go through a difficult patch, that it's something that should enable us and empower us to help other people. And that sometimes, even if we don't see it while we're going through it, but afterwards, we have to be able to use whatever challenges and experiences, positive or negative, that we've ever had in our lives, to be able to relate to other people and to be able to be mechazik other people. That's the message of Bari Nefashos. That's the message of the Yisurin with which we were kona Eretz Yisrael.